Well, we continue with our theme of the daily life of the Christian. Our topic this evening is the housewife. Now, the housewife will sound rather dated these days because there are fewer of them around. And frankly, many women would not want to be called a housewife. It seems as though she is confined to the house. And careers seem to be accorded more importance these days. Well, I do not know what career mums would think of my mother. I only knew her for about 11 years. Before she died. But in that time, as a mom at home, she bestowed such maternal love on my sister and me as to leave an indelible impression. Other adults here might have similar experience. And I certainly know that children and youth in this congregation do know the blessing of that maternal love and care. You can see that our passage here this evening has to do with housewives, and indeed it is in prayers of housewives. This Proverbs chapter 31, in the last third of it, we might say, is a biblical accolade. Now, an accolade is strictly the touch of the sword on the shoulder of the one who is honored by being knighted. Our English word accolade is from the Latin language and would translate as to the neck. And that has been the practice in our nation for centuries in connection with those who are honored for service to the nation. Now, we may say that there are many accolades in the Holy Scripture. They are verbal, and they have to do with the pronouncement of God's blessing on this one or that one in connection with their union with the Lord Jesus Christ as Redeemer and the life that they have lived in accordance with that faith in the Saviour that God Himself has sent. I dare say that many would think in this connection of the Beatitudes that we have recorded in Matthew and chapter 5 from the lips of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, a beatitude ascribes spiritual blessedness of the highest kind to particular virtues. If the profile of our lives reflect those virtues, it is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself who says that such a one will be blessed. So, for example, the first four Beatitudes that we have there in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5. The teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount with the multitude before Him. And He begins with those words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The route to blessedness is not by great exploits. It's not by reputation among men. It has to do with the inner man. It has to do with your heart and my heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are of a lowly disposition, not proud and arrogant, not self-seeking, but those who are seeking to honor the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Savior goes on, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He's not speaking about discontent with our life condition, but he is speaking about that disposition of heart whereby we recognize our personal sinfulness, alienation from God by nature, but not, as it were, mourning in a self-satisfying way, but rather confessing our sins to God and seeking his grace and favor. Blessed are they that mourn, says the Savior, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall be comforted. And blessed, he says, are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It seems sometimes that pride and arrogance is what leads to advancement in this world. And that may well be the case, where the standards of this world prevail. But the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking with reference to the highest standards. How is it between you and God? And you see that this meekness, this spiritual meekness, is so commended to our souls by the Lord Jesus, such shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They are not expending their labor and their resources in order to enjoy the privileges and comforts of this world. They have been set upon a course by God the Holy Spirit, and that course is a course of holiness. Their desire is to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and day by day to be more in his image. Now, the Lord is not here outlining dispositions of soul to be cultivated in order to meritoriously secure acceptance with God. Is not this the great perversion of Satan with respect to walking with the Lord? He would make it a matter of human merit that you and I should so live, and that our works should so commend us to God that we will be accepted. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not teaching a doctrine of works righteousness. What he is doing here in the Sermon on the Mount at the beginning of that wonderful sermon is showing to us the character and the blessedness of those who are justified in God's way. As the psalmist can say, blessed is the man. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount, begins with this theme of blessedness. The blessedness of the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, that has the character that he here describes. And we cannot possibly be in this particular frame, as it were, in connection with our daily lives, except through that spiritual rebirth. The Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, spoke to Nicodemus about being born again. He didn't understand. Do we have to return again into our mother's womb in order to be born? But the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking of that work of God the Holy Spirit in taking away the heart of stone and giving a heart of flesh. And consequently, the change in the life of the man or the woman or the boy or girl. So what we have here in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is the description of the character of those who are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We haven't to take the Beatitudes as a rule of life in the way of works righteousness. But we are to take these Beatitudes as a description of the character, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, who, following the Lord Jesus Christ, begins to bring forth fruit unto holiness. So we must begin with that foundational truth of the believer's justification. We believe in justification by faith alone, in Christ alone. It is the grace of God that is the source. He is the one who works by his Spirit in our hearts and gives to us understanding hearts to cease from works righteousness and seeking to justify ourselves and to look to Christ alone, that we might be justified by faith. So the source, the beginning of it all, is with God and his eternal kindness and his disposition to do good to the unworthy. Our faith is but the means or instrument whereby we receive Christ as Savior. And it is Christ himself who is the procurer of our righteousness, that righteousness which is imputed to us and received by faith alone, is the outcome of the active and passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect in his personal holiness. And in order to deal with our sinfulness, he offered up himself as the spotless Lamb of God to make amends for sin. So all begins at Calvary for the believer. There we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God slain and given, in order that we might have life and salvation. So if there are any accolades for saved sinners, any honor, as it were, for us, all of that derives from Christ, and all of the praise belongs to Christ. Now, these introductory remarks with respect to this matter are of vital importance when we consider such passages as the one that we have here in Praise of Housewives. It is so easy for the uninstructed mind to come to passages such as this and to receive them in a way of saying, ah, this is what is pleasing to God, this is how I should be, and being like this, I will be received by God. Now, that is not the intention of the writer, nor is it the meaning of the scripture here. Rather, this accolade for Christian housewives is, in effect, a praise of the grace of God who brings about that change. So Proverbs 31 here, 10 and following, begins, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." I think you can see that this is expressed in such terms as to be impossible without the grace of God. A virtuous woman whose price is far above rubies. What manner of woman then is this that is so praised in the Word of God? We need to notice the different components here. There's no excuse for menfolk either in this connection. These virtues are general. They apply to both men and women. But here in this particular context, the subject is a virtuous woman. And what does this mean? What are we to understand by this description? Well, I would submit to you that it means that she is a woman conformed by the work of God the Holy Spirit himself to holy living. Now, we may not say perfectly so, because there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us come up to that perfect standard exemplified by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, there is such high praise here given with respect to the virtuous woman. She has come into this particular condition by the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being forgiven her sins and being set upon a new course by the sanctification of God the Holy Spirit. And there is no doubt that in consequence she will come to that heavenly glory. The Hebrew word which is here translated virtuous means literally force. And the power of godly virtue is like an advancing army to quell flippancy, uncleanness, laziness, and frivolity. She is not like other women of the community who do not have this experience of grace. Her husband can safely trust in her purity and provision for her household. She is an industrious woman. When it comes to the basic wants of food, clothing, and shelter, the multitasking of the virtuous woman has everything under control. Verses 13 and following there. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She is industrious. We do not find here someone who is lazy, someone who is indifferent to the tasks that need to be attended to. She is highly motivated to the accomplishments which are necessary. And she certainly is a challenge to us all, is she not, in connection with getting up in the morning and getting started on the jobs and tackling them with energy in order to the necessary outcomes. Sometimes the housewife is looked upon as rather isolated from society and from the various attainments and achievements that are possible in it. But no, she is praised here as an enterprising woman. The virtuous woman is not some financial moron wasting the household substance, resulting in ruinous debt. Quite the reverse. She is sensible and wise and effective in the management of the funds at her disposal. Verse 16 and following, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out at night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. An industrious woman, an enterprising woman, a generous woman. Her needy neighbors are blessed. She finds time and resources to help them. She's not of that disposition of selfishness, whereby the only activities undertaken are the activities that are going to be a benefit to oneself. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not grasping, as we would say, but she is giving to others. At the same time, she is a financially astute woman. She's not wasting the resources of the household. Quite to the contrary. Verses 22 there and following. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. You see, she knows what she is doing. She knows how, as the economist would say, to add value to the various resources at her disposal. In sum, she is a truly wise woman. She is not sitting at home vegetating, as some might imagine, with respect to those who do not go out to work. On the contrary, she is fully employed, and there is plenty for her to do. So verse 25 and following, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. What a picture then, dear friends, is presented to us of the character and activity of the virtuous woman. There was that television program, you remember, This Is Your Life. They would bring somebody along. They have already researched, as it were, the life and connections and accomplishments, as it were, of this particular person, and they are then all unfolded in the program. Well, you can see that in some respects patterns what we have here, but the issues that are here are vastly more important, because they have to do with our personal relationship to God and the working of that out in our lives. This woman is as she is. Her accomplishments are what they are because of her godliness. And that is why we would have the expectation that the life of the Christian will partake of this particular profile, because God has called us out of darkness into his own marvelous light. And the passage here is, as it were, a torch burning to give light, that we might have understanding with respect to the kind of life that the born again Christian will live, to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we see here is effective housekeeping. We may say that this is the secret of success. Why is the woman of Proverbs 31 to be esteemed? The secret of her success is not graduate or professional status, though we do not despise such things. What is the secret of this woman? What makes her tick, as we say? This is here that both husbands and children might take note. So verses 28 and following. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What a concept here, dear friends, that our works should be the testimony whereby our life is judged by others. They will see what Jesus Christ means to us by the lives that we live. How challenging it is to see that the Scriptures set things in this particular way, that by our works we will be judged. Not that we are preaching works righteousness, not that we seek to be saved by our own good works, but nevertheless the life speaks, and it bears testimony to the heart and to the relationship of the person to their Maker, their Lord, and their Savior. An important subject, the secret of successful housekeeping, the secret of successful living. First of all, virtue. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Very unlikely, perhaps, to see on some specification in connection with the workplace this characteristic, this quality of virtue. That's not what employers are looking for, or not what they would specify. It would be regarded as very old-fashioned. But that is not the case. Here at the very root, dear friends, of the lives that we are to live in a sinful world is this matter of virtue. Now, the Hebrew word which is translated virtuously has the basic idea of a force to be reckoned with, whether referring to human beings or referring to means. It is used in the sense of a force, as an army, or as resources for some purpose. It's thus used of wealth or virtue to succeed in some enterprise, having the management skills and so on, as we would talk about it today. And she is such a woman. Always, as we see here in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. And whether the family is rich or whether the family is poor, they lack no needful thing. She applies herself to the things which are necessary. We also notice in connection with this woman the matter of faith. That is, this humble dependence upon God, as we describe it, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we are not to prioritize the outward things in life. We do not despise beauty. It is a God-given gift. But we must prioritize the spiritual over the physical. We must ditch the standards of this world in order to understand what makes a Christian wife or a Christian mother tick. She is a woman of faith. This has to do with God's revelation of himself in the Lord Jesus Christ and the personal heart attachment to the Savior. So the Word of God is the daily companion that shapes the life and service of such a woman. We read, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, if we try to take these other things as foundational in life, we are self-deceiving and we are missing the point. So favor or beauty, these are not the things that are foundational. And so the writer here emphasizes the fear of the Lord above such outward considerations. Fear not in the sense of being afraid, but fear in the sense of reverencing Jehovah, the God of Israel. Whatever other accomplishments or natural gifts this woman may have, the writer says, it is the fear of the Lord which will generate the praise that she deserves. And we must always remember, in the rush and flurry of life, that in every enterprise, every specific activity, it is our relationship to Christ which is the foundation of praiseworthy activity. We must in all things be acting and living as the servants of God through the Lord Jesus Christ as the one only mediator between God and men. And so there is this wonderful fruit, this tangible outcome, as it were, with respect to the exercise of faith. Now, there are great differences of opinion concerning priorities in life. But if we come into the garden for a moment and see two apple trees, the first one is very green and has the freshness of youth. It has small green apples that might be suitable for an apple pie if cooked with plenty of sugar. The second tree is much older, and the apples are larger, more numerous, and sweet to eat straight from the tree. There is no doubt which tree gets our prize. So the wise man concludes concerning the virtuous woman. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. There is nothing superficial that needs to be added. We can be sure that whatever reactions are here, she shall be praised hereafter when God's verdict is pronounced. We live in a society today where the standards of the Word of God with respect to human behavior and also the character attributes, as it were, that are outlined are not appreciated by our society. But we are living not for the praise of men, but we are living surely, if we are born again believers, in the light of that coming pronouncement when we shall meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. What do you want to hear when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face? If you are a serious-minded Christian, surely it will be those words that we read in Matthew 25 and 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Faithfulness and this essential goodness are what is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ as the judge of all the earth that shall do right. So let us all learn, whether male or female, wives or not, to put the Christ of Calvary first in all things. And then we will be able to say, even in our sorrows, it is well. Let us be looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us be daily visiting Calvary to be mindful of the one who suffered in order to save us from our sins. Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. How much the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in order that through faith in his name, sinners such as we might be sons of God. Will that not, dear friends, be reflected in the lives that we live as we seek to honor the Savior? So our response, honor to whom honor. We see this in connection with the wise and godly woman here. Please take note with respect to the response of husbands and children. In verse 28 we read here, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. It is not that the virtuous woman is any less thought of by God. It is the standards of our nation that have changed. There is no commendation here of what this world judges attractiveness. There is no hint here that this woman has graduate status. That is not to say she could not have done well on a University of Athens degree course. And there is no doubt that this is a woman of financial acumen. We're not saying that these things are wrong in themselves. All these things have their place, but not pride of place. True womanhood is not to follow perfect Eve in her illicit desire, but rather to follow Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, learned what redeemed womanhood is, and lived accordingly. Let us then, dear friends, be regular in attendance at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, that being instructed in the truth as it is in Jesus, our lives might be shaped and formed as is in accordance with his will and pleasing to him. The essence of all of this concerning the virtuous woman applies to each of us, whether male or female, bond or free, adult or child. For all real life begins with the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Faith in Christ, which is the guarantee of eternal salvation and favor, must be that which determines the way in which we live. The Savior put it starkly, take up your cross and follow after me. The readiness to sacrifice reputation and fame among men in order that we might follow Christ is the mark of authentic Christianity. Will we, dear friends, in our day and generation, heed the call to take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to live godly in Christ Jesus, and to bring honor and glory to his name.